mind, which is clear and pure originally. So one should produce the mind which is nowhere supported, because the truth is not something stagnant water. The truth is something moving and acting, something active. So there is nothing to hold in your hand. There's nothing to support. Nowhere supported. Nowhere they attached. This is it means. One should produce the mind which is nowhere supported. And then we then attain enlightenment at that time. The next, thereupon he asked the customer what sutra he was reciting. The customer replied, the Diamond Sutra. Then again, he asked, where do you come from and why do you recite this sutra? The customer said, I come from Tung Chan Monastery in Chichao, the Fang Mei province. They are the fifth patriarch, the great master Fan Yan dwells, teaching over 1,000 disciples. I went there to make obeisance and heard and received this sutra. The great master constantly exalts the Sangha and laity only to uphold the Diamond Sutra. Then they may see their own nature and straightaway achieve Buddhahood. We then heard this and desired to go and seek the Dhamma, but he recalled that his mother had no support. From past lives, there were karmic conditions which led another man to give We then a pound of silver so that he could provide clothing and food for his aging mother. The man instructed him father to go to Fang Mei to call upon and bow to the fifth patriarch. fifth patriarch constantly emphasizes the spirit of Diamond Sutra, saying they may see their own nature and straight away achieve Buddhahood. This is very common. Zen Buddhism always mentions, even in Japan, even in China. Real spirit of Zen is to see into one's own nature and achieve and become Buddhahood. Straightforwardly. That is a point Zen Buddhism always mentions. But this is a little bit, I think, the questionable. I think in Dogen Zenji mentions, I think you should read Buddha Nature. Of Shobo Genzo, and also in Zen Master Dogen, the Dogen Zenji mentions about monks at the fourth stage is four stages of meditation. I think in this chapter he mentions about but the criticism toward that point. And usually mentions to see into one's own nature and become the straight away and Buddhahood. For instance, he mentions in that chapter the essence Buddha Dhamma has never been to see into one's own nature, which of the seven past Buddhas or 28 Indian patriarchs ever said that Buddha Dhamma consisted merely of seeing into one's own nature. It is true that the six patriarchs spoke about this question in the Platform Sutra, but as this is a forged writing, it cannot be said to represent his true teachings or to have the transmission of the Dhamma. We are descendants of the Buddha, shouldn't rely on it, something like that. And, and in the Manti Sutra, Mountain and Water Sutra of the Mountain of the Sutra, Dogen Zenji mentioned also transforming the environment, transforming the mind, is something scorned, something scorned by great sages. Speaking of mind, speaking of nature, means speaking of one's own nature, original nature. Speaking of nature is something not approved by Buddhas and Zen adepts. Seeing into the mind, seeing into one's own nature, is love, livelihood of heretics. Sticking to words and phrases is not the explanation of liberations. So Dogen Zenji strongly criticized that pre-usual, you know, Zen emphasis of Zen Buddhism of those days, even now, because if you emphasize the main point of Zen Buddhism, seeing into one's own nature by the Zazen, that time, it is still dualistic, very dualistic. So by Zazen and by Zen practice, you have to achieve, you have to see true nature of the self, and then become Buddha. This is pre-usual understanding of Zen practice and Buddhist practice. But at that time, in the basic state of existence, I think you cannot escape, you cannot be free from agitations and hesitations, uneasiness of your mind, always, because you try to get the peace and harmony dualistically. I am not perfect, that's why I need something. So that is always something agitating you and makes your life uneasy. But Dogen Zenji mentions always that your basic nature is exactly Buddha nature. Buddha. That it is not the Dogen's teaching, but the Nirvana Sutra and also the Diamond Sutra Prajnaparamita mentions. So Nirvana mentions, Sutra mentions constantly, we are Buddha. All sentient beings are Buddha. So we have to stand up in the Buddha nature, stand up at the place where all sentient beings are Buddha from the beginning to end. That is main point. I think in the Buddha nature, if you read the Buddha nature of Shobo Genzo, a little bit difficult to understand, but you would taste what the Buddha nature is. So that is the most important chapter for you to understand Dogen Zenji's teaching and also Buddha's teaching general in terms of general Buddhism. So according to Dogen's point, Buddha nature, there are 2 points. According to Nirvana Sutra, he mentions about Buddha nature. He quoted the sentence of Nirvana Sutra. Comment on this. So there are 2 points he mentions. 1 point is all beings without exceptions are Buddha. This is 1 point. All beings without exception at all are Buddha. The Buddha nature. And second, Buddha nature is, Jisetsu Innen, the time and occasion and cause and conditions. Literary translation. Okay. Buddha nature is time and occasion, cause and conditions. So two meaning. So all beings without exceptions are Buddha nature. Means whatever you may be, whatever you think, whatever you don't think, all beings are complete Buddha. So nothing else to compare with. So all complete Buddha. So there is nothing wrong, nothing good. It's a perfect Buddha. So that is the truth Dogen Zenji constantly mentions. That is a Buddha nature, we say. If so, we immediately think Buddha nature is something like very basic nature of existence from which all beings, from which makes all sentient beings alive. So the Buddha nature is something absolute, or Buddha nature is something eternal. We think immediately. So very basic nature of existence. But that is not real Buddha nature. That's why second point is Buddha nature is cause and time and occasion, cause and conditions. So Buddha nature is obvious something happen. Always the Buddha nature is that which happens, occurs according to time and occasion. Time and occasion and cause and conditions means when you come here, this is your life. When you walk, this is your life. So called walking on the street. So always there is a cause and conditions. Okay? Cause and condition means all opportunity, all chances, all forms you are confronted with, all opportunity you face day to day is from moment to moment. This is cause and time and occasion, we say. Okay? When the spring comes, flower blooms. This is when you see the flower. This is a time and occasions. Okay, and that flower's form of flowers has conditions and causes. So, form of flowers consists of lots of time and occasion and condition, cause and conditions. So, behind the tiny flowers, here is a huge world that is working together. Then we can see the form of flowers through with our naked eye. But behind this tiny flower, we cannot see because it's huge. So that's why Buddha nature is time and occasion, cause and conditions. That means nothing to hold. Second point means Just functions, activities. Okay? Just activities. So Buddha nature is what? Activities, functions, process. That's it. Okay? So there is nothing to hold as a fixed beings, fixed entities, nothing. Okay. I think Buddha nature, from that Buddha nature, how can you call this Buddha nature, which is called nothing but the activities, process, and functioning in dynamism? How can you call this? Then finally, Dogen Zenji mentions that Buddha nature, it may be called no Buddha nature. Okay? No Buddha nature. Because no Buddha nature is very close term to explain true picture of the Buddha nature. Because it is nothing to hold. That's why no Buddha nature. And then from that no Buddha nature, we can see Buddha nature or no Buddha nature. It's idea of Buddha nature or idea of no Buddha natures, which means phenomenal world coming up. Okay. So that is in the chapter of Buddha nature, Dogen Zenji mentions about Joshua's koan, okay? Buddha nature, the dog has a Buddha nature or not. Okay. Let's go. The page 43, the great master constantly exhort the Sangha and laity only to uphold Diamond Sutra. Then they may see their own nature and straight away achieve Buddha-hood. Okay. Huineng heard this and desired to go and seek the Dharma, but he recalled that his mother had no support. From past lives, there were karmic conditions which led another man to give Huineng a pound of silver so that he could provide clothing and food for his aging mother. The man instructed his father to meet him further to go to Fengmei to call upon and bow to the fifth patriarch. Next page. After Huineng had made arrangement for his mother's welfare, he took his leave. In less than 30 days, he arrived at Fengmei and made obeisance to the fifth patriarch, who asked him, "Where are you from and what do you seek?" Huineng replied, "Your disciple is a commoner from Xinchou in Lingnan and comes from afar to bow to the master, seeking only to be a Buddha and nothing else." The patriarch said, "You are from Lingnan, and are therefore a barbarian, so how can you become Buddha?" Huineng said, "Although there are people from the north and people from the south, there is ultimately no north or south in the Buddha nature. The body of the barbarian and that of the high master are not the same, but what distinction is there in the Buddha nature?" The fifth patriarch wished to continue the conversation, but seeing his disciple gathering on all sides, he ordered his visitor to follow the group off to work. Huineng said, "Huineng informs the higher master that this disciple's mind constantly produces wisdom and is not separate from the self nature. That itself is the field of blessing. It has not yet been decided what work the high master will instruct me to do." The fifth patriarch said, "Barbarian, your faculties are too sharp. Do not speak farther, but go to the back courtyard." Huineng withdrew to the back courtyard, where a cultivator ordered him to split firewood and thresh rice. More than 8 months had passed when the patriarch one day suddenly saw Huineng and said, "I think these views of yours can be of use, but fear that evil people may harm you. For that reason, it was too sharp." Conversation between Huineng and his teacher, fifth patriarch, was going pretty well, expressing his wisdom, and so he didn't want to continue to have conversation between two in front of assembly. That's why he tried to keep away from. Anyway, here is a conversation between the three names and the fifth patriarch. I think you can see this conversation in the chapter of Buddha Nature also. And he says, from where do you come? And Vinang says, Linnan, he came from Linnan in China. And also teacher says, when you come, if you come from Linnan, I think you are the people in Linnan doesn't have a Buddha nature. How can you become Buddha nature? Because he's the, I don't know exactly, but the Linnan people in Linnan were pretty poor and commoner and not educated so much. So Vinang in this stories, I think, was not an educated person. So he couldn't read sutras, he couldn't write, so he was pretty uneducated. But on the other hand, in the fifth patriarch monastery, I think Jinshu, the which is constructed, not the who was the first at the Shuso, first head monk of the monastery, was very educated and sharp person. So Jinshu, Shuso head monk, and Vinang are very contrast person. So anyway, that's why he mentions if you come from Linnan, you are barbarians. They don't have a Buddha nature. Why? How can you become Buddha nature? But Dogen Zenji mentions, Dogen Zenji comment on this story conversation on the, in the chapter of the Buddha nature. You should read this one carefully. That's interesting commentary there. Point he really comment on this is the people in Linnan don't have a Buddha nature, means no Buddha nature. It is not something something wrong, the fifth patriarch mentions, but it is nothing but expression of what real Buddha nature is. So that real nature of the truth of Buddha nature is co-expressed as no Buddha nature, because it is nothing but the function and activities. It is activity created, produced by time and occasion and cause and conditions constantly. So if so, if it is true, there is nothing to say. No perception, no word particularly. So what term is appropriate to express that truth as it is? So we say, no truth, no Buddha nature. You can use negative term. But that no Buddha nature is not negative, but expression, manifestation of function and process in dynamism. That is meaning of no Buddha nature. So Dogen Zenji mentions about that point. Okay. So this this point is so original. The free name mentions although there are people from the north and north and people from the south, there is ultimately no north or south in the Buddha nature. That he mentions he denied Joseph's patriarch statement in terms of Nirvana Sutra. Okay, Nirvana Sutra. So Nirvana Sutra mentions all this Buddha nature, all beings are Buddha nature. So the body of the barbarian and that of the high master are not the same, but what distinction is there in the Buddha nature? But Dogen Zenji understand this the conversation pretty deeply. That's an interesting point too. Okay. So next page 47. One day the patriarch summoned his disciples together and said, "I have something to say to you. For people in the world, the matter of the birth and death is a great one. All day long you seek fields of blessing only. You do not try to get out of the bitter sea of birth and death. If you are confused about your self nature, how can blessings save you?" Okay, here says, "I have something to say to you. For people in the world, the matter of birth and death is a great one." That is a main point we have to always pay attention to in the monastic life. The matter of birth and death is most important things. So in Wudong Gong, they have several characters there that says life and death is great matter, etc. And also he says, all day long you seek fields of blessings only. That means your original nature is already blessed, already gifted, you know, with a Buddha nature field of blessing. Okay, your nature is Buddha nature, so you should seek fields of blessings only. You do not try to get out of the bitter sea of birth and death, because if you try to get out of this bitter sea of birth and death, already you are standing at dualistic place. So your basic nature, the foundation, is very shaky. If the foundation of your life is not stable at that time, how can you realize the field of blessing? How can you take care of phenomenal world, which seems to be confused? So that's why he mentions, if you are confused about your self nature, how can blessings save you? I think, strictly speaking, your self nature never be confused. So Dogen Zenji mentions in Gakudoyo Jinshu, he mentions, if you want to study Buddha way, that you should believe that there is no confusion, no misunderstanding, and no delusions, etc. So your life is always going in the path of the true nature, path of Dharma, Dogen Zenji mentions. And then we can practice Buddha nature, we can practice Buddha way. But if the foundation is always found in the dualistic world, your life becomes very uneasy. So you never taste spiritual peace and harmony. But usually that is a juristic where foundation is found in office in the juristic way. If in the religion, we practice in that way. So that's why the fifth patriarch says, if you are confused about your self-nature, self-nature is never confused, but if you don't manifest self-nature as, you know, foundations, their steadfast foundation, your life becomes, your self-nature is never manifested as steadfast foundations. So, that's why he says, if you are confused about your self-nature, but actually, self-nature is never confused. But if you don't manifest it as a steadfast way of life, then it's confused. So, next, each of you go back and look into your own wisdom and use the prajna nature of your own original mind to compose a verse. Submit it to me so that I may look at it. If you understand the great meaning, the robe and dharma will be passed on to you and you will become the sixth patriarch. Hurry off. Do not delay. Thinking and considering is of no use in this matter. When seeing your own nature, it is necessary to see it at the very moment of speaking. One who does that perceives as does one who wields a sword in the height of battle. Next page. The assembly received this order and withdrew. Shen Shu is our senior instructor and teaching transmitter. Shen Shu was the head monk at that time. That person was pretty smart and sharp. That's why other monks anyway trusted him and considered him as the successor. So certainly he should be the one to obtain it. It would be not only improper for us to compose a verse, but a waste of effort as well. Hearing this, everyone put his mind to rest and said, henceforth, we will rely on Master Shen Shu. Why vex ourselves writing verses? So people, other monks didn't want to make a verse and submit it to the teachers because here is the head monks there regarded as the next successors. So even though monks try to make a verse, it is useless. So next, Shen Shu then thought, the others are not submitting verses because I am their teaching transmitter. I must compose a verse and submit it to the High Master. If I do not submit the verse, how will the High Master know whether the views and the understanding in my mind are deep or shallow? If my intention in submitting the verse is to seek the Dhamma, that is good. But if it is to grasp the patriarchate, that is bad. For how would that be different from the mind of the common person coveting the holy position? But if I do not submit a verse, in the end I will not obtain the Dhamma. This is a terrible difficulty. This is the Jin Shen. Shen choose very honest reflection upon himself. Very honest. Thinking, should I write a poem and submit it to the teacher for what? Already fifth patriarch mentions, if you compose great things, you could be successor of his lineage as the sixth patriarch. So the Huineng was Huineng commanded respect from other monks. Already it was very clear for him to become successful. So he started to reflect upon himself. Why do you want to write a poem and submit it to him? Do you want to be successful? This is your purpose, or to seek for the Dhamma? Just like Vimalakirti Sutras, Shariputra went to see Vimalakirti, who was sick, and his room was very small. And then 500 bodhisattvas already there, but no chair, pretty small rooms. So Shariputra asked him, how can we get into these small rooms? No chairs. And the Vimalakirti said, what do you want? Do you come here to seek for the Dhamma or to get the chair? Shariputra says, oh yes, we try to get the Dhamma. And then 500 monks and bodhisattvas can get it. Can get into that room. Same stories there. Here is also the Shen Shui. So reflection is just like this. Very honest and very nice reflection here. That's why he says, if my intention in submitting the verse is to seek the Dhamma, that is good. But if it is to grasp the patriarch, in other words, to grasp, you know, certain position and fame and etc., it is not good. For how would that be different from the mind of common person coveting the whole position? But on the other hand, if he doesn't compose a poem, how does fifth patriarch know whether Shen Sui is appropriate person to become sixth patriarch or not? So he has to do it. So that's why he says, if I do not submit the verse, in the end, I will not obtain the Dhamma. This is a terrible difficulty. This is a very difficult condition, situations. He honestly faced and reflect upon himself. This is pretty nice. So next, in front of the fifth patriarch's hall were three corridors. Their walls were to be frescoed by court artist Lu Chen, with stories from the Lankavatara Sutra and with pictures portraying in detail the lives of the five patriarchs. Lives of five patriarchs means a lineage, a picture of the lineage of the five patriarchs. So that the patriarchs might be venerated by future generation. I think on the wall of the corridors, I think the artist painted the picture of the fifth patriarch portrait and also his lineage in order to let the monks know what the lineage was, his lineage was, and also respect. After composing his verse, Shen Sui made several attempts to submit, but whenever he reached the front hall, his mind became agitated and distraught, and his entire body became covered with perspirations. He didn't dare submit it, although in the course of 4 days, he made 13 attempts, but he couldn't do it. So he was very agitated. Then he thought, this is not as good as writing it on the wall so that the High Master might see it suddenly. If he says it is good, I will come forward, bow and say, Sui did it. If it doesn't pass, then I have spent my years on this mountain in vain, receiving veneration from others. And as to father cultivation, what can I say? That night, in the third watch, holding a candle, he secretly wrote the verse on the wall of the south corridor to show what his mind and had seen. So finally he decided to write the poem on the wall of corridor instead of giving his poem directly to the fifth patriarch, because 13 times he tried, but he couldn't do it. So that's why he decided in that way. So next verse is, the body is a bodhi tree, the mind like a bright mirror, stand, time and again, brush it clean, and let no dust alight. After writing this verse, Chen Shu returned to his room and the others didn't know what he had done. Then he thought, if the fifth patriarch sees the verse tomorrow and is pleased, it will mean that I have an affinity with the Dhamma. If he says that it doesn't pass, it will mean that I am confused by heavy karmic obstacles from past lives and that I am not fit to obtain the Dhamma. It is difficult to fathom the sage's intentions. In his room, he thought it over and couldn't sit or sleep peacefully right through to the fifth watch. So anyway, he couldn't sleep because he was very concerned about his poem written on the wall. So his poem is pretty well known by everyone as one of the Zen stories. So body is bodhi tree, the mind like a bright mirror stand, time and again brush it clean, and let no dust alight. And later, I think the fifth death, Huineng wrote the, I think, page 56. Huineng also wrote the poem, his poem is, "The body is a bodhi tree, the mind like a bright mirror stand, time and again brush it clean, let not..." Oh, no, excuse me. Yeah, that's right. 57. "Originally, body has no tree. The bright mirror has no stand. Originally, there is not a single thing where can dust alight." Sometimes people deal with the two poems separately and evaluate what is right, what is wrong. But I don't think it is right understanding. Both poems work together in our practice. I think you cannot separate them. So, according to the Shen Shu, I think he stands always the dualistic world, looking at himself and try to reach the Buddha nature. So from this point, the body is a bodhi tree. We are Buddha nature, but we are not Buddha nature. So we have to realize, we have to see into our own nature. So the body is bodhi tree, the mind like a bright mirror stand. This is exactly the same as teaching of Nirvana. So we are Buddha. Time and again, brush it clean, but we are living in the human world, so it's easy for us to get the dusty dust. That's why we have to always brush it clean. And no dust alight, this is a point of our practice. So constantly practice. This is one aspect of the practice, seeking for the truth, okay, constantly. From the beginning to end, even though you attain enlightenment, even though you become Buddha, constantly we have to seek. And on the other hand, we have the other aspect of practice is to descend to the human world, to share your life with all sentient beings, because there is no particular, you know, the six patriarchs, Huineng's spirit of his poem. "Originally, body has no tree, the bright mirror has no stand." Well, because our nature is, our foundation is already Buddha nature. So there is no particular things to discuss, to propagate. So constantly we have to stand up there, and then you can deal with human world. "Originally, there is not a single thing where can dust alight." So we have to descend to the human world and save all sentient beings. So both works together in our practice. Okay. Hi. Do you have questions?
So Dogen considered this a forgery?
Not only Dogen's, introduction written by Echu, who was one of the Huineng's teacher and no disciple, mentions about the platform sutra. Original platform sutra written by one of the Huineng Six Patriarchs disciple, but he didn't publish it, and then other monks, other disciples carried off his, you know, and then passages which other disciples had listened to sixth patriarchs and teachings directly were added to his original, you know, edition, version. That's why mixed up things there. So that's why that is a general, the general understanding in Japan, in China, about this one. So it's not exactly six patriarchs teaching, but this is, but that is a little bit, we are disappointed if I see, if I listen to that, but still we use this six patriarch platform sutra as one of the Buddhist, Zen Buddhist textbook. So, that's why Dogen Zenji criticized this one. That criticism is Dogen Zenji tried to let us know what is the real teaching of six patriarchs is, instead of putting it down anyway. So that's why the most important point is always Zen, but the main point, key point of Zen practice is to see into one's own nature and become Buddha. But that is pre-dualistic. That is the point Dogen Zenji tried to mention in the Shobo Genzo. Any other question? I think next, please read the Prajna, it's number 2, okay, page 89.
Could you please clarify again what's meant by causes and conditions,
Time and occasion is a, how can I say, this is a very technical term we use, if you read Ocean Seal Samadhi, Dogen Zenji mentions about time, everything is produced by, you know, various dharma. Various dharma means conditioned origination, conditional factors. Okay. And also he mentions about time. What is a conditional factors? Conditional factor is nothing but the time and occasion. And what is the time and occasions? He says, just arising only. So time is something kind of energies in action. That is arising only, he mentions. But it's pretty difficult to know what the time is through arising only. So that's why temporarily we say it's time. But real time is arising only. So it's at least working. This is temporarily called Buddha nature, we say. Okay. But that Buddha nature, if you use Buddha nature immediately, we have a preconception that Buddha nature is something eternal or absolute, etc. That's why Dogen Zenji mentions no Buddha nature is pretty close, appropriate term to express that arising only, regarded as a function itself, activity itself. That is a time and occasion and cause and conditions. Okay. But because everything is produced by conditional factor, so nothing particular things you can believe, of course you can believe, but to get particular things. Even the life, even the this body and the mind, all is changing constantly. But there is, if so, there is nothing to see. Of course, there are lots of things we can see. This is a form of your five skandhas, form of your activities, and time and opportunities we create, we face every day. So, there is something. But if you see something, immediately we believe this is something real, but it's not something real we can depend on constantly, because it is nothing but function, activities. So constantly our foundation must be found there, and then you can deal with what phenomenal world are.
If Shen Su's poem speaks one aspect of our life reality, and Meaning's poem speaks another aspect, is real reality beyond both of them?
Yes, when they work together.
When you get to the place where you're not supported by anything, then you really are supported by all things. Is that right?
Supported? Well, what do you mean? One is, you mean everything is supported? On the other hand, everything is not supported? That's what you mean? Actually, no support. Nothing to support. So if you want to know something supported by something, maybe you are supported by nowhere to support it. There is a true factor. In other words, your life is supported by impermanence. That is a true picture of existence. Impermanence means function, activities. So as long as you're active, you can create a form, opportunity, time. Okay? Sleep, even though you sleep, this is a form. This is an opportunity. Because you are active. You are acting. Body and mind acting constantly. So that is called impermanence, we say. So impermanence is Buddha nature, Dogen Zenji mentions. because impermanent is constantly changing. Changing doesn't mean nothing in vain. No. There is a something always to create.
You say if you are active, is there anything other than activity though? Is it possible to not be active?
No, it's impossible. Whatever you do, always there is active.
Even if you're dead, would there be active?
Sure. Even though you die, it's active.
Even if there were a nuclear holocaust, there would be activity?
Sure. Wherever you may go, our foundation is very active, dynamism.
So Buddha nature can't be destroyed?
No.
If in the two poems, one is it closer to the truth than the other poem, why did the fifth patriarch make Pliny name the sixth patriarch rather than both of them, or neither of them?
Because as the Dogen Zenji mentions, no Buddha nature is pretty close to the pointing out what the truth is. It's not evaluating both of them, which is right, which is wrong. On the other hand, do you know Kassan Jozan's in the chapter of Life and Death, Dogen Zenji quote two sentences. If there is a Buddha, you are not confused by life and death itself. In the chapter of life and death, if there is no Buddha, life and death, you never be confused. Something like that. I don't remember exactly, but that is. And then they went to see the teacher to evaluate which is right, which is wrong, which is close to the truth. And then Kassan mentions to the teachers, which of us is pretty close to the truth. And then he says, maybe next day, please come again. He didn't answer. And then next day, Kassan again to see the he says to see the teacher and ask the same question, and then he says, "One who don't ask is closer to the truth. One who try to know which is close is not close. Means no Buddha nature. No Buddha nature is pretty close." Close to the Buddha nature. That same thing. So, Huineng mentions there is no particular, no originally body has no tree, the bright mirror has no stand. So, always mentions about what the foundation is. Then originally there is not a single things where can dust alight. So constantly his basic foundation is found in no Buddha nature. I think you can read a little, I think the book of No Mind written by D.T. Suzuki. D.T. Suzuki mentions about this starts in terms of this poem.